Luke chapter 6. Verse 29. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek or jaw, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Now, taketh away means carry off with, steal. Cloak is himation. It's the outer garment or the tunic or the mantle. Wait a minute. I got to get this going. Where are we? I get confused. To every man that would take away thy cloak, forbid not to take that coat also. Okay.
Are you in Luke?
Let's go to Matthew 5, huh?
What number were you in Luke reading?
629. Chapter 6.
You see it? Go to Matthew 5. It's even more, it's more descriptive here. If any man will sue thee at verse 40, Matthew 5, 40. If any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, a coat is the undergarment, the one that's less costly, it would be like a t-shirt. Let him have thy cloak also. This is the more expensive, the outer garment, the tunic. So the point of it is, again, something that's totally counterintuitive. If somebody takes away thy coat, give him thy cloak. If he sues thee at law and takes away one, give him the other too. Now, this is not right. So, but think of the implications of this. If any man sue thee at law and take away thy house, give him thy car also. This has staggering implications.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen it done.
Doesn't matter.
I know, that's part of the point. It doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter whether you've seen it done or not. It's still what it is.
Yeah, there's an issue here that's...
Well, let's talk about it. This is why when you read the Sermon on the Mount, if you're not upset or repentant at the first, you better be at the last. What's bothering you here?
Well, it always bothered me that I never see it done except in a movie or something. So it's like, it's as if then nobody's a believer. Nobody reaches that point or something. Normally you see some evidence in the world of it happening. And I'm sure it does, but I just don't see it. I mean, it's not common. So what I think is, in studying this, it's important to see what they're saying, not whether you do what they're saying, but to understand it, and that'll change. That'll transform you because you see it.
Well, yeah, you've got to not, if you see it and don't do it, then you're in deep trouble.
If nobody ever smites me on the cheek, nobody asks for my coat.
Yeah, but you understand, it's the sense of it. It's not the specific. If an attorney doesn't pay you, give me your house also. No, I'm serious.
No, you're saying exactly what I just said. It's a sense of it, and that's the point. If you wash it off like I've done, since I don't see it or experience it, I can say, well, that doesn't mean much, so I'll go to the next verse.
Yeah, but the reason you haven't seen it in our culture I promise you, you see it routinely in the culture where the church is persecuted. I promise you see it routinely in the villages of Africa where they're, or Sudan, where they're killing the Christians. It's the way of life there. There's all kinds of stories about this kind of thing in the persecuted church in the Soviet Union. I mean, it forced you into this position of, you know, my only purpose in life is to meet the needs of others. What happens to me is not important. And that's the whole sense of this. And it can't be ignored. It's anybody have any? You must have some more response to this. If you have any other response other than repentance, you have the wrong response. And then if you have repentance about it, and then the next time you ignore it, then you're in deep doo-doo. What, John? Capisce?
Yeah.
All right, go back to Luke. You don't look happy, Gary.
No, I'm good. I didn't have a repentance response, but I had a joy response.
You had a what response?
A joy response. Because I saw it.
Okay, good. All right, verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. This is a great, interesting word. Give is didomai. And it means... It's used of what a seed does, or what an apple tree yields apples. So the point of this is that this word give isn't like you have to think about it and debate about it. What it is if anybody asks of you, if anybody sees a need, you give. You don't think about it and judge what we. I mean, this is what that huge thing with me was with that homeless guy. Oh, I don't know if he's homeless or not, but I was eating at Highland Park Cafeteria up in Casa Linda, and this guy came up and asked me for a dollar when I was getting into the car, and I just blew him off. And it bothered me so much I can't even. I drove all over the place trying to find him. I mean, you could easily say, well, he's going to use it for drugs or this or that. But for some reason, that one little incident just, I wrote the last word about it. Because it was so, it hit me so hard that I, how what right do I have to judge whether somebody's going to, you know, that's the whole lesson of the Good Samaritan. Now, this is... This isn't 1 + 1 = 2. This is nothing, there's nothing prudent about this. This is a whole different world.
Yeah, that caveat that's used, or whatever that it is, where, oh, they're just going to use it for drugs, is just a protection.
Of course. It's the way they don't have to repent.
Yeah. On the other hand, you don't just give to everybody on the street. I don't. But I try and stay open, so if I'm urged to give, I'll give. If I not, I don't. So it's not like I've established a new law that I give to, although it says here, give to every man that asketh of thee.
Right. This isn't, has nothing to do with whether you feel like it or not.
Yeah.
And of course you are. This is why we're studying this. I mean, do you understand who we are? Well, let's look at some of the scriptures. Let's go back to Mark 4.
Anybody else give to beggars?
Yeah, I have.
Not have.
That's what I have.
Oh, I know, but do you do it routinely? Do you do
no,
it?
No, I don't do it routinely. I have, and some folks, I can tell, it's very genuine. Other times, I need money for a burger, and I go right back in the liquor store. So, but I don't stop, and I don't hand them out.
Well, I again, I'm this can't be, this... No. Here's the deal. This can be ignored if you don't live in a community. Because you can, you know, you just, but when you're in a community where 90% of the people are poor, then this thing starts to take on a different life. You know, I'm remembering so many meetings where we sit around and talk whether or not the person has a need, and we decide whether or not it's a worthy need or not. We can't do that.
We've institutionalized our own giving.
All right, Mark 4. Verse 3. And he taught them he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. Chapter 4, verse 3, or 2. Hearken. Means pay attention. It's like in the Old Testament, ho! Everybody hoeing? Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Now, the word grew up there is the word didomai, which means it's the idea that the thorns grew up. The thorns, the earth gave to the thorns, if you will, instead of the next one. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit. And the word yield is didomai. It gave. And sprung up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then it says about this mystery. If you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of them. And if you understand this one, you'll understand all of them. So this thing about the fruit, what the fruit does, which tree is yielding the fruit? The tree that is of him, or it, that is him, just gives to every man that asks. The human race is the bad tree, because we give with conditions. We give with caveats. We don't give because. We always have good reasons. Okay, let's go to...
I think you give with expectations, too.
Well, that's an absolute no-no. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 8.
I'm not going to do it anymore.
2 Corinthians, chapter 8. I'm going to go shoot that puppy. No, I'm not. But.
Give him what for? Second
paragraph. This is an interesting word that's used in a different way, but I just want you to see all the way this give word is used. Moreover, brethren, in verse 1, we do you to wit, we want you to know.
Where?
Chapter 8, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. Didn't I just say that? All right, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And the word bestowed is the same word, didomai. So it's the grace of God bestowed on us. It's the mercy of God given on us. And the idea then is what you show the same mercy that you've been given. You show the same love that you've been given. You show the same everything that you've been given. I mean, so this thing about give isn't a thought process. It's what the thing, it's what happens in the nature of the thing. And if there's a thought process, then you know you're in the wrong tree. You've climbed back up the stupid tree. Does that communicate? Okay, let's go to 1 John. No, let's go to Hebrews first. Hebrews 8. But I find it interesting, this word, didomai, which means this give or bestow or... I can never get Hebrews.
Second verse of that we didn't read was, maybe I missed it, but on back in Corinthians, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality.
Amen. All right. Hebrews 8. He's talking about the Old Testament here. In verse 4 it says, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee, to thee and the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the minister of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been made or sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Put my, there, as didomai. He wrote, he gave us the mystery of God written in our hearts.
He bestowed,
he gave, he put. And so that's the mystery. Then that mystery of his giving into us is why we then give to all who ask. Is that clear now? All right, let's go to...
Yeah, he put himself, very self, into our hearts.
Let's go to, yeah, right. 1 John. Repent. That's. But repent. If you're not in joy, you haven't repented.
Yeah.
That's the stupid English language, penance and penitentiary and repent. Instead of the turning away from dung to joy. What?
You don't look back longingly at your dung.
Well, obviously, a lot of people do. I like to play with it and gild it with gold and
show other people.
All right. Behold, in chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, or the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, the word there, what we, anybody guess not what we just read, what the word didomai is? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, has given. How can we then put a governor on what we give? It's kind of important. Let's go to Revelation. Well, this one is just, it's the idea of this. Well, I might as well read it since we're here. Revelation 8, chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, was given is the didomai. So even God is giving to the angels for the benefit of man. But it's always the Father pours himself totally into the Son. The Holy Spirit pours himself totally into us to reveal the Son. And we pour ourselves totally into whoever asks. We don't pour ourselves to try to sell somebody something. Let's go to 1 Peter. I think 1 Peter, maybe 2 Peter. Yeah, no, it's 1 Peter, chapter 3. This one is quick. Just listen, listen in the kitchen. Verse 14, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You give, again, didymi, to them that ask you. But you don't try to give to sell something to get a response. To them that ask, you give.
I think that's where the humility enters in. You give with humility, not with pride.
All right, well, we will spend some more time on this. Anybody have any other response? Take it, big guy.